Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You're listening to the Glory Hunters podcast. It's a Midlands derby, Derby County v Aston Villa, with Perry Groves, Ash Gould, Mark Dolan and Mark Smith. Excited, gents?
A lot of nervous energy.
Yes, why you're yawning, is it, Mark?
A little bit, yeah.
Still
it's
just, yawning.
It's a big game for us, you know, Villa, big club. Derby are a bigger club.
Big club, apparently, Ash.
Well, that's right, yeah. And Derby, obviously, a small club. But yeah. It's West Midlands, East Midlands, you know, so... And they always think we pull it out of the hat, don't they, with Nottingham Forest and Leicester. Never anything much for Derby, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
We will see what happens, Perry.
The delusions of grandeur, really, isn't it? Derby are a bigger club. You've got already, Derby are a bigger club than Aston Villa.
Did you ever play at the baseball ground, Perry?
Yes, I did, when Arthur Cox was manager. And I'm one of the few players who saw a blade of grass on the baseball ground.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty cool.
Mark Dolan, do you ever play at the baseball ground?
Well, no, but I'm a very big fan of Derby County. A glorious history in Europe and also in the league in England. But also, I like a club that has an animal representing it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing more symbolic in terms of competitive endeavour than a ram. We are going to ram raid this show today, okay? If we were the Wolves, okay, we would go after it like a pack of hunters. And as a Spurs fan in the rest of my life...
A massive cock.
Thank you very much.
There we are. So here we go. Here's the Glory Hunters podcast. Hello, I'm Charlie Baker and welcome to Glory Hunters, the show that stokes the fiery furnace of football fandom. Our guests are given the opportunity to represent the team they've always supported in our very own Theatre of Dreams. But who will get stage fright and who will do the encore? It's up for grabs now on Glory Hunters. This week is an all-Midlands affair as Derby County take on Aston Villa. Representing Derby is Mark Smith, who's alongside team captain Mark Dolan. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
Very good. And on the team sheet for Villa is broadcaster Asher Gold, who's with team captain Perry Groves. Hello, gents.
How are we doing?
All right.
Good. Everybody okay?
Yeah, fine.
Good. Perry, nice to have you here. You're representing Aston Villa today, Perry.
Yeah, mate.
It's an honour.
Did you ever play at Villa Park?
Loved Villa Park because it was one of the biggest pitches in the old football league in the first division where, you know, football didn't exist in it before 1992.
Yeah.
And I had the privilege of being man-to-man marked by Martin Keown. And he actually came into our dressing room after the game. And I said to him, Martin, because he'd gone from the Gooners to Villa.
Right.
I said, you don't play for us anymore. And all the other lads just ran into the shower. And they, because I didn't realise Martin could be a little bit hot-headed and just left me one-on-one. I just had the 1,000-yard stare, me and Martin Keown, you know, just was just staring at each other like that. Oh. You all right?
Ash, do you remember Perry?
I do, yeah. I mean, you scored a few against Villa, didn't you?
Yeah. I got a header and then I got New Year's Eve. We won 3-0. David Rocastle, if you look at it on YouTube, he scored an unbelievable goal for about 35 yards.
We were quite good in those days, weren't we?
You're a good side.
A team to be reckoned with.
And obviously better than the 80s as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, mate.
There we are. And going to Derby County, Mark, the Rooney Revolution has taken over Derby County this year.
It hasn't taken over anything,
it
Charlie.
Hasn't
He's
it?
A big
it's
name. We're a big
Rooney.
Club. We're a big club. He belongs at a club like us. But you know what? It's Derby County. It's never boring. We're always in the news for some reason. And that is the mark of a proper team, isn't it?
A proper team, isn't it? Always something happening.
Always something happening.
And Mark, you're the captain today.
Great
a true
honor.
Leader of men.
I try.
Tell us of your other captaincies you've been captain of in the past.
Well, I was obviously leader of the Balls of Steel Army on Channel 4,
And I know that was 12 years ago, but it hasn't stopped me dining out on it.
And they're probably repeating that now.
Correct. Yeah. And I'm on, you know, I didn't take a fee, a bit like Star Wars. I just took points and the merchandise from Balls of Steel, which is why I'm purely doing this for pleasure.
Just for fun here today. Were you ever captain of a sports team?
No, I mean, look, that was a defensive answer, Charlie.
Oh,
I'm not going to
lie. I apologise.
Because the bottom line was, I cannot be, I'm not even any kind of leader figure in my own house. I have sired two offspring who view me with, at best, contempt. And obviously the wife barely looks at me.
Exactly.
So, no, I just don't have... I think I am definitely a team player. I'm collaborative.
Yeah.
Leader, not so much.
OK, well, that's going to be an interesting episode, isn't it, Mark?
Good to know my captain feels that way.
Anyway, the scene is set for Derby v Villa. The seal kickoff. We start with a Ray Parlour montage spelling out the dangers of windy footballers.
With Jose, his machine... doing well at the moment, and he knows exactly the fighting position for places. I heard you earlier on the radio saying that we're not really good, don't really need him now, but you are fighting on a lot of fronts. It's a massive boost, isn't it, that he stayed at the club. He's going to fight all the way.
Yeah, that's where you won the game, probably. But yeah, you had to go into the game with that sort of rivalry. And you can go back to the late 80s when, you know, there's a big fight on the pitch at Old Trafford. It was one of those situations thinking, that's it, a leader, telling him players what to do. Oh, look, he went a little bit over the top on the pitch. You don't want your players to have a fight on the pitch. You let him go in the summer because then you know you can replace him. You don't let him go in during the January window, Al, when they're fighting the Champions League.
Ray Parlour, I think he says fart instead of fight. I think that's what we've...
Yeah.
But do you know something? Ray's got a point. He always has something valuable to say about the game of football. And you know you're not allowed to like touch players anymore, can you? You get the yellow card for shirt pulling. So yeah. I think the only way to keep defenders at bay is a little flatulence.
Yeah, why not? Funny if there was, it was like really windy, they'd fall over.
That's a good point, by the way.
There'll be a bit of simulation.
Right, anyway, here we go. Here's the question. In a career that spanned from 1990 to 2012, can you tell me how many career goals Dean Windass scored? A lovely question. How many career goals did Dean Windass score? It's sealed bids, so while both teams confer, here's a short musical interlude. OK, I've got the answers here on the sealed bids handed to me on pieces of paper. Perry has asked for points for working out, which I don't know. I think that goes against everything that Glory Hunters stands for completely. Right, but here we go. Villa, Ash and Perry, you've said 207 goals.
Yeah.
And Mark and Mark have said 210 goals.
Oh,
very similar thinking.
Great
very
minds.
Similar thinking. The answer is 198 goals. Yeah, there we are. So Aston Villa, you will kick off next as both teams try and convince me that they are the biggest here today as we do this.
My club's bigger than your club. My club's bigger than your club.
We want each of our guests to tell us why they are the biggest club here today. They're free to employ any reasoning they wish. This isn't about medals on the table. It's an exercise in winning hearts and minds. Aston Villa, that means you, Ash, you're going to go first and your 30 seconds start now.
Right, OK, well, our animal is a lion that represents us and yours is a sheep. So, I mean, that wins there, isn't it? Villa Park, they have a ground actually named after the club and you had the baseball ground, didn't you? It's not even named after the right sport. and that, it's not even a British sport. Our police in Birmingham, they have more authority and they ride Shetland horses, the mounted police, because I went there once. And yeah, Rooney, yeah, he's the biggest thing there now, isn't he, at the moment? And sort of, he's been played in America, so that says everything, really.
OK, Mark, can you tell us why Derby County are the biggest club here today?
Well, first of all, the mascot is famously a ram, not a sheep. Here are some names associated with Derby County over the years that show how big a club we are. Brian Clough, Dave Mackay, Archie Gemmell, Steve Bloomer, Kevin Hector, Igor Stimac, Roy McFarlane, Paolo Wanchop. The list could go on and on. Wayne Rooney, of course. Huge, huge name. England's top ever scorer, United's top ever scorer, came to Derby County because he realises we can match his ambition. We're a huge club still. We've got a lovely ground. Yeah, OK, not as nice as the old baseball ground, but it still counts. Crucially, and this is really important, we have got a record number of points in the Premier League. Yes, it was the lowest number, but it still counts as something to write home
about. It's a record in the record
book. It's a record in the record book.
It's like... basically, genius knows no mediocrity.
Yes.
Right? The worst performance in the history of the league, but also the best, right, is similar to the career of Robert Downey Jr., who has both been, obviously, Iron Man, but also in jail, actual jail in America. Mm. And that, to me, is Derby County.
There we are. Both terrible arguments, either way. really bad. I mean, he's really having to go at Americans, getting the name of the animal wrong. Yeah,
but all his famous players were more famous for other clubs.
That is one of the things I was going to say, is I do not associate many of those.
Steve Bloomer.
Brian Clough.
Brian Clough said Derby was the football city out of the two, out between Nottingham and Derby.
He was patronising.
No, he wasn't. He's been a good lad.
You turned that into the plate competition, wasn't it? It was the best of the worst.
Exactly.
Who's getting the plate?
A ram is quite a tough animal. I will say that. A ram.
So is a sheep when it gets angry.
Yeah, but a ram is a real tough cookie. So I'm not taking that. Shetland horses, they're Shetland ponies. They're not Shetland horses. So just your basic animal.
But a ram wouldn't do good against a lion, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter how sick the lion is.
Give it a good go.
True.
You know exactly Chris Peckham, to be honest.
I mean, no, you're right. It's basically a wildebeest.
If it was what can we create the best jumper out of, then the ram would win.
I suppose.
So if it was a fight, then you
would put it like that. Yeah.
Exactly. No,
that's what I was going at anyway. That's my ball. Yeah.
I'm going to say Aston Villa 2, Derby County 1.
He's a bit like a puppeteer, playing us all like a fiddle.
You're listening to Glory Hunters, the podcast from Talk Sport. Time now to incur the wrath of the sporting gods as we enter the round known as
Sporting Heretics.
Yes, it's Sporting Heretics. I'm going to invite each member of the panel to put convention to one side and share an idea they think will change sport for the better. Previous suggestions have included renaming football, a transfer window for fans, and reducing the number of Olympic events. This idea may well horrify the purists and terrify the traditionalists, but as they say in the corporate world, nothing is off the table. So let's approach this with an open kimono and see if we can get one or two of those things actioned. Here we go. Perry, we're going to start with you, and you've got a way to speed up golf.
Yeah, two different ways. If we start from the base that golf is the biggest cheating sport ever invented. Every golfer cheats, whether you pretend you found your ball, whether you have a little movement, you think I'll have a little bit of lie. So I think to try and limit the cheating, then you can have a mulligans, you can have a free shot. So if you duff your tee off, then you go, all right, no, it doesn't count. And you can have one free shot per round. Because normally, even the club golfers, their tee offs are not bad, but it's the second shot where you panic, where you think, oh no, it's not just set up nicely for me. So if you have another duff one, then you can have a free shot. So that will speed you up a bit. But the biggest thing is, if golf was invented again, it would be 14 holes and not 18 holes. Because modern day, the society's got quicker and quicker and quicker. And club golfers, when they get to the 14th, if you're playing not bad, you're thinking, these five holes could absolutely... No, you do, you think, these five holes could ruin my round, right? So then the nerves set in, and you have like a 6, 7, 8, you think, oh, I hate golf. And if you're playing badly, you get to the 14th, you think, I can't be bothered to have another five holes. Can I get into the clubhouse now? So clubhouse takings go through the roof. People are a lot happier.
But wouldn't it just happen four holes earlier? You know what I mean?
Wouldn't it just happen at the 10th hole?
What's that?
If people were having a good round, they just get to the 10th hole and
you'd hit the wall.
This is going to really ruin my round.
No, not the 10th hole, because your moral compass makes you have to go round the second nine. But so you get to the 14th, you think, I'm done now. I'm finished. So it's like the equivalent of cricket's 2020. Completely knock it on the head. 14 holes.
How about a free shot per hole? I don't know about how good you are at golf, Perry, but whenever I play, normally one or two bad shots per hole. Perhaps just wipe those off as well.
I'd go for the free shot if you was listening. That's what I said. One each hole.
What about they tell you it's 18 holes, but then after the 40th they go, actually, we were lying, that's it, and you feel great.
Oh, yeah, you'd feel that.
Yeah, but then you can tell one person that, and then they'd tell all their mates.
That's true. So get out, wouldn't it? Get out before, and then WhatsApp and everything.
Yeah, so what if they say to you, not being funny, we've changed golf to 14 holes, but don't tell anyone.
It won't work, would it?
I think that spoiled the surprise.
There is something about the spare shot, because I think it's like a second serve in tennis, really, isn't it, effectively? What it means is when you tee off, you can really give it some Tiger Woods action for the first one.
It's true, yeah.
And if you, you know,
stuff like it. Second serve, yeah, so you're right. Yeah.
Well, you see,
I think that's a good call. A second serve in golf, a second drive.
But he knows it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You'd have a few Happy Gilmores when you're taking a little run up.
Don't worry, Marky, it's a clever double bluff.
Perry, I'm going to give you three goals for
God
that.
God bless you, Governor.
Mark Dolan, we're going to come to you next. And I've got written here, suburban football.
Yeah. I'm a child of the 70s, which is amazing because I'm still 28. Some of the best football I've seen in my life, and I adore our game. It's the greatest game on God's earth. But I would say the best performance of it has happened on the streets of England. I say England because this relates to the English Premier League. What you've seen I grew up with kids playing with a tennis ball or perhaps a deflated regular football. You need ball control when dealing with potholes, wobbly paving stones, and a guy called Barry reversing his Austin Allegro at speed. Right? You need literally eyes in the back of your head. The Premier League next season could happen on the suburban streets of England. Rather than going to White Hart Lane or the Emirates, the North London Derby could happen in a Cricklewood cul-de-sac. Okay? The Manchester Derby could be played on a ring road off the M60. I would watch that. Okay? Now, rules are easy. Ball goes out of play when it rolls under a Fiat Cinquecento, for example, which has a very low wheelbase, so quite hard to retrieve.
It does.
If you break a neighbour's window, that's obviously a penalty. Got to have some respect. And I just think, in the end, it would be a wonderful spectacle. I mean, just think of the camera work, you know. I don't need VAR. You just need someone's mum leaning out the window going, that's definitely offside.
Very nice idea.
So I just think, let's see football where it belongs, on the streets of England.
Would you have a multi-ball system, though? Because there was old LC.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Perry.
She used to say to us, that ball comes in our back garden again, I'm putting a knife through it.
Well, you are so right. One turn deserves another. And Perry, you know, we've been very collaborative throughout the show today, right?
This was an excellent...
This is a way forward for Spurs and Arsenal fans to go. But the advantage, of course, of the multi-ball system is that each time it will be a different ball, a different brand, and probably a different genre.
Different weight.
Well, 100%.
A 99p flyaway... Then
you might go from a
Mitre Delta,
Wembley Trophy,
Adidas Tango,
the orange one.
See the tear come down your face, and the Wembley Trophy, the orange one.
Yeah, the orange one.
You're a little bit more weight to it.
Yeah, the black lines are going.
It used to really hurt if they hit you on the thigh. Yeah,
you go from beautiful. Like a kind of Sports Direct $5.99 basketball to possibly a short episode with a cricket ball.
Just for the nostalgia of it, Mark, and also some very, very good rules there. I'm going to give you three goals, Mark Dolan. Ash, you're going to revamp horse racing for us.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know the National, when you see that the jockeys fall off, and, well, I think, you know, it should count the horses that are still running, because, they don't know if they're doing wrong, do they?
No.
You know, they're still full of heart and desire, and they want to win, and I think they should be, at the end, they should be a handicap, you know, like when they weigh the jockeys. But the jockeys should race each other on the track straight after the ones that have fallen off. And then there'll be some sort of calculation to work out what time it would be with the horse without the jockey.
Yeah, I love this.
And so therefore, you could actually work out who's actually won.
I just like the idea that the horse will win. The horse can win then.
And
we might
fault.
Not. We don't actually need the jockeys then. If they're herding animals, they'll all follow each other around anyway.
They don't have any greyhound racing, do they? You just got to follow a big carrot or something.
Yeah, what could they? Big carrot. What could they put on the back of a car?
Yeah.
No, if it was the giant horse going around on their own.
Yeah, giant. That's what they eat, isn't it? Or a bale of hay.
Sugar cube.
A sugar cube or another horse.
Yeah.
Because they just love chasing other horses, don't they?
Love horses, don't they? Yeah. It's a lovely idea, isn't it?
Yes, it's fine.
Mark, do you like horse racing, Mark?
I do, yeah. I don't dislike the idea.
Yeah.
But unlike Mark, I'm going to play the game properly and say it's terrible.
Very negative there.
Because I want you to get
no points. Very negative from Mark. That means, Ash, I'm going to go with it and I like it very much.
Thanks,
it's a great idea. Three goals to you. Mark Smith.
Here we go.
Just you last now.
Here we go.
Everyone's got three goals, so quite a lot to live up to here. I've got here, it says, fans legally on the pitch.
Finally, yes. So this, Charlie, is to do with when a player is sent off, normally they leave the pitch and no one replaces them and that team is down to 10 men. I propose that instead of that, we mix it up a bit. When a player goes off, the opposing team captain gets to pick someone from the crowd to replace that player.
Strong.
It will lead to all sorts of fun events. There'll be criteria, by the way. You can't pick sort of under 10s. There'll be certain criteria, which means it's not completely humiliating for a minor.
It's a shame.
Well, yeah. Imagine the scene where you've had a particularly horrible fan really having a go in the corner at the corner taker.
Oh, yeah.
Someone gets sent off. They get that guy on the pitch and we see
Him.
11 professionals, him or her.
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course.
We see that person get taken apart, just taken down.
Yeah.
Horrible
so
challenges.
Humiliating.
But you might. But by the way, you might also have glorious moments where a guy who comes out the stands, yeah, scores the last minute winner.
Begins a whole new career.
Yeah.
The thing is, well, though, you can give agents more power. Agents will be buying players. They'll be buying fans.
Fans, wouldn't they? That's
they'll
right.
Be,
that's
they'll
right,
be acting
Perry.
For fans, wouldn't they?
But we need Perry, more stimulus for the economy. It's not a bad thing.
It would certainly get rid of the unwelcome spectre of supporters yelling instructions at players about how to play football. Because you're not going to... People in glass houses, I'm not going to say, pass it to him, mate, if I'm on in 5 minutes.
And also, they have their normal clothes on. They're not dressed like football.
They might have the top kit on, though, so that
would
be
they might do, but they'll be quite big, I reckon.
This is obviously giving you a bit of credit, but I just got this image of all these, like, football fans getting their dubbing out with their boots as they go into games. And
yes,
like, and so what do? You go, you never know. I could get on for the last 15.
Yeah.
Do you know John Burridge?
John Burridge, yeah,
He used to take to every England game at Wembley. He used to take a spare pair of boots, gloves in his kit bag, in his head, just in case that the England goalkeeper got injured. And he thought, I might get a call. I might be in here. He used to take
them
to the
call you. Surely they couldn't just call
Jimmy
you up.
Jimmy Hill got called up, didn't they?
It's not said there's a doctor in the house. Is there a goalkeeper in the house?
Any goalkeeper
as it happens,
here?
I've only got my gloves. Happy days.
Do you remember Jimmy Hill, though? He got called out of the crowd to be a linesman.
Highbury. That was
Highbury,
yeah, linesman. And he had his flag with him as well.
Yeah, like John Burridge, always had it with him.
Also, what it does mean is that, you know, Perry, I bet this happens to you all the time, where, let's say, Arsenal go through a tricky period. Do the fans say, have you still got your boots? You can come and help us out.
It's never that tricky.
Still got your boots?
Perry's never been Arsenal.
Can we use your long throw? Yeah, it's not a problem.
But it does mean that if ex-players, of course, who do frequent the games, you know, if they are there, they'd be eligible.
They won't get picked, though, because the opposing captain chooses the player. They won't pick someone who's an ex-pro. They'll pick someone who looks like they won't be good at football.
That's a shame. All the other ideas were great, and then it came back to your idea.
Look at the conversation.
It came back to your idea, and it was like, oh, it's worse than we thought. It was good until we came back to the...
Unprecedented four goals. 4 points for this, I reckon.
It's a one goal. One goal there for Mark.
Very unfair.
Very unfair.
So, at the end of that round, the scores are Aston Villa 11, Derby County 6.
The thing about Drogba is that he scores when he doesn't even play.
I'm Jim.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
White. My middle name is Yazid.
You're listening to Glory Hunters, the podcast from Talk Sport. Time now for Back in the Day, where we travel back to a landmark moment in both teams' history. The two marks, we're going back to 1993 and this.
And a good ball to find Kitson. And back it goes towards Gabbiadini. His team. Marco Gabbiadini scores his 16th goal of the season, and his Italian dad, watching in the stands here, will be delighted that his son has made his mark in this Anglo-Italian final.
Unfortunately, Marco Gabbiadini's equaliser against Cremonese in the Anglo-Italian Cup final wasn't enough to secure victory. The Rams lost the match at Wembley 3-1. But what else do you remember of that year, 1993? Here we go, Mark and Mark. First question. Marco Gabbiadini's talents weren't only limited to football. Can you tell me what non-football award he won in 1999? Was it A, his pub garden in Sunderland was awarded first prize in a Britain in Bloom competition? Was it B, his Rhodesian Ridgeback won best in show at Crafts? Or C, his hotel in York won guest house of the year from the local tourism board? Which of those do you think it is?
Well, I met him once in a shoe shop in Derby. That doesn't really help us with this question.
There's a very special era of football in which players earn sensible money and therefore needed other business options for when they retired.
Used to be insurance or pubs, didn't
definitely
it?
Insurance.
Sports
it's
shops.
Amazing to think that Sir Alex Ferguson used to own a pub, and that's what he did after his playing career. So I'm going to suggest maybe the hotel thing doesn't sound outlandish.
What was the first? The first one was Sunderland Pub Garden. So pub.
First prize in Britain in Bloom competition.
So
Sunderland
I think it's
pub
either.
Garden.
But
the
does that
Sunderland
mean
pub
that
garden?
He was the proprietor of the pub?
His pub garden in Sunderland,
garden.
Yeah.
So
it's a hotel or a pub. We've got to be pub, hasn't it?
I think it's
it?
One or three. I think it's either the Pub Garden in Sunderland or the York Hotel.
It's got to be a pub, hasn't it? And I'm thinking a hotel is a bit high maintenance for a football man.
Should we go A?
Yeah.
Pub Garden.
Gone for Pub Garden. The answer is C. His hotel in York won guest house of the year from the local tourism board. There we are, underestimating professional footballers. I wouldn't do that. Here we go. Question two. That season saw Man United crowned champions of the newly formed Premier League. But which player did United sign in a record-breaking deal that year? Was it A?
Well, it's just teed up for Cantona. Yeah!
Eric Cantona, or was it B?
Onside Roy Keane, and the first goal for Manchester United for Roy Keane.
Roy Keane, or perhaps...
Kanchelskis, will he finish? Yes!
Andre Kanchelskis. What a player he was.
Well, Cantona was £1 million from Leeds.
Yes, that's right.
Roy Keane was a British transfer record at the time, 3.5 or 3.75. And Kanchelskis, I don't think, was anywhere near that money. Now, the only thing is, if it was the right year... Because they might be throwing us a curveball here, which Ash will hate because it's a baseball phrase.
Which player did United sign in a record-breaking deal in 1993? Cantona, Keane, or Kanchelskis?
I think Roy Keane from Forest.
Feels
what
like
do you think,
Keane
Mark?
To me.
Yeah,
I'm feeling Keane. Yeah,
going to go for Keane.
I think Cantona came a bit later, didn't he?
No, Cantona came that. Yeah, he came because he was there when Leeds won the Charity Shield that the start of that season. Then he went to United, I think.
I'll let you call this.
Going for Keane. Yeah?
I can't.
93.
Seems too early. Roy Keane.
Going for Roy Keane. Let's find out.
Onside Roy Keane. And the first goal for Manchester United for Roy Keane.
Question three. 1993 was also the year that one almighty power ballad dominated the charts.
I would do anything for love, but I won't. No, I won't do that.
But can you tell me how many weeks it was at number one? 5, 6, or 7?
It was a long time.
I'm inclined to say the maximum of 7.
Yeah,
it's an absolute tune, isn't it? Meatloaf, I Would Do Anything for Love.
I swear around that time there was loads of number ones that were there forever.
Yeah.
There was this, there was the Bryan Adams Robin Hood one.
Yeah.
There was Wet, Wet, Wet. Similar sort of times.
All power ballads. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then going back, Jennifer Rush, she hung around the charts for a while.
What was that
she?
Song?
Power of Love.
Power of Love. Thank you. Well done. Well done.
There were three Power of Loves, wasn't there, at that time? There was the
Frankie and Huey Lewis in the News.
Yeah.
Jennifer Rush.
There was
I think one
That's
of the...
That's the Power of Love.
For decades, the greatest hit for a long time was Mull of Kintyre by Paul McCartney, which for me almost undoes the entire good work of the Beatles in one song.
The whole catalogue.
But anyway, on this
and
one...
And then the frog chorus did undo it.
And that was the straw, my friend.
Yeah.
7's too obvious. Let's go 6.
The answer is 7. Perry and Ash, we're going back to 1996 and this.
Oh, look at Milosevic in a bit of space here. Pemberton trying to hold him up. If he gets it onto that left foot, it could be trouble. And it's Dwight York!
Dwight York's goal saw Villa beat Leeds 3-0 in the League Cup final at Wembley, the fifth time they'd won the trophy. But what else do you remember of that year, 1996? Question one. Dwight York finished the season on 17 league goals for Villa, but can you tell me who was that season's top goal scorer? Was it A?
Shearer hits it! Oh, what a goal!
Alan Shearer with Blackburn, or was it B?
Fowler, he's in here. Can Liverpool take the lead? Yes! What a moment for Robbie Fowler.
That's Robbie Fowler with Liverpool, or perhaps...
Ferdinand has the shot. Ferdinand scores! Les Ferdinand!
Les Ferdinand with Newcastle.
See, normally, Shearer's your go-to man, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because he's like the record
goal scorer. But Ferdinand was sort of the only one scoring, wasn't he, at the time for them at Newcastle?
And he was at his pomp as well then, Sir Les.
Yeah, yeah. And who was the other one?
Fowler, Robbie Fowler.
Alan Shearer, yeah, Robbie Fowler or Les Ferdinand?
I've just got an inkling.
Was that Fowler... before
Robbie
he
Fowler
nose
with Liverpool.
Strip
the nose strip, yeah, because he's got a lot more, didn't he, after the nose strip. Yeah. Mm. No one uses them anymore. I think it's going to be Ferdinand, because I think it's the least obvious out of those three choices. Ooh. And I just got a feeling he was a top scorer one year.
Ash, I'm going with you. You seem very, very convinced that it's that.
Who are you going for?
And Ferdinand, definitely.
This is Les Ferdinand. Yeah. Let's find out.
Sir Les.
Shearer hits it. Oh, what a goal!
That's why Shearer... is your go-to man.
Yeah,
the obvious
gone,
answer.
Gone to Shearer.
Every goal scoring record, it's Shearer.
Yeah, yeah. Should have gone for that.
We are.
I think there's so much focus on Shearer's goal scoring record, his physical power as a player, but also his just genuine talent at putting the ball in the back of the net. What's little focused on is how gracefully he has lost his hair and still looked great. Mm. And for me, he is the British Bruce Willis.
With dignity.
Yeah, because you know Bruce Willis is the shorthand for it. If you're going to go bald, don't worry, you could be Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And I think Shearer is the British Bruce Willis.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. He made his debut against us for Southampton.
Yeah.
And no one knew who he was. So when the team sheet comes through, George Graham's normally meticulous. He said, who's this lad? Oh, Merce, you played with Shearer in the England under-19s, where it was. So Merce went, to be fair, Gaffer, he said, he gets in the channels, he's a strong runner. He said, but I'm not being funny, he can't finish.
Yeah.
Honestly, right? So he scores a hat-trick. 4-0, I think it was. So in the dressing room after the game, Merce is hiding in the toilet. So George Graham comes in, where's that? And Merce hadn't even been playing. He said, someone find him, right? So he's going, all the other lads thinking, thank God for that, he's not having a go at us, right? And then after about 15 minutes, I went to the cars, like, I heard, Grosey, where's the gaffer? I went, has he finished polishing his shoes yet? Because you know he's put his shoes, yeah, he's gone. He went, thank God for that. He went, I think my career's finished. He's never going to play. So he can't score a goal.
And good he went to Villa and his career was finished.
He was brilliant.
We got the answer wrong, but I'm going to give you the goal for the brilliant anecdote. There we are. Alan Shearer finished the season on 31 goals, Robbie Fowler on 28 and Les Ferdinand on 25. Question two. Can you tell me how many Villa players were included in the PFA's Team of the Year at the end of the season? Was it one, two or none? PFA's Team of the Year at the end of the season, 1996. How many Villa players were in it? One, two or none?
We can't be none, can it?
Unless it's a curve, unless it's a massive curveball.
Yeah, I mean, because there's a lot of good players, but... What do you think? I'll give you the choice, because
What, since I'm captain, you mean?
Yeah, since you're captain.
Thanks for that. I'm going in the middle. If you're not sure, someone who's obviously been on eggheads...
Who do you think it was, that one player?
If you're not sure, you go in the middle.
Who do you think it was, the one player?
Yorkie,
yeah. Dwight York, yeah.
I'm going one.
You're going one. The answer is two. Alan Wright and Ugo Ekiog. Question three. It was a season that saw both Frank Lampard and Rio Ferdinand both make their debuts, but which of the following TV shows first appeared that year? Was it A? That's TFI Friday. Or was it B? Ground Force? Or was it C? The Sopranos. Which do you think it was? TFI, Ground Force, or The Sopranos?
I think Sopranos is later, isn't it?
A little bit later.
I mean, I went on TFI once years ago because he did a show at TalkSport, you know, Danny Baker and the Ginger Productions. And, and that was 97, I remember. So I reckon 96 it might have been.
I'm going with you. So Ground Force, just ruling that completely.
Well, I don't know because that is about the right year, but I'd go because I definitely was 97, whether it had been going a year before. Yeah.
And we'll keep the ginger flag flying, I think, Chris Evans.
Yeah, we should do.
Yeah, give us the answer.
I think I'm 100% sure on this. It's TFI Friday.
100%.
OK, let's find out. You're absolutely right. It was TFI Friday, which means at the end of that round, the scores are currently Aston Villa 12, Derby County 7.
You need at least 8 or 9 men in a 10-man wall.
Here on Glory Hunters, we like to venture into our guests' deepest thoughts, and that's why we do this. Our esteemed panel are about to face an inquisitive general public as we play A Question of Sport Time. Now, with the current government restrictions in place, we are asking for questions from the public remotely. So let's get the first question for our panel via the wonders of Skype.
Hello, panel. With sport all but over for another year, who's your tip for sports personality of the year?
So with sport over for another year, who's your tip for sports personality of the year? I would like to just nominate myself. I did get the tea bag straight into the bin the other day. And there's, there's not much sport on at the moment, is there?
From, from where, though?
Well, from a metre away, a good metre away.
Could you give yourself a little fist pump as well and get it? If anybody's around you, what's
up for it? I thought I might have been up for it.
Was it with a teaspoon you flipped it?
Yeah, yeah, flipped it with a teaspoon.
Was it pyramid or round?
Round. Round. Yorkshire tea for hard water. We have hard water.
Did it have the little string bit on it as well?
No.
It's more aerodynamic, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, just putting myself in, but we're going to come to Ash. To you first, Gould.
I'm going to give it to Jurgen Klopp because it's the only thing he's going to win this year.
Oh! Boom!
But yeah, no, he should get it because it is the only thing he's going to win this year, probably.
Okay, there we are.
It'll probably be next year anyway.
They'll finish the league. I think the thing that will happen when they come
back... But in 2024 it will be,
they will finish the league and then move on. It will still count. So before that, I'm going to give you... I like the idea, but I'm going to give you two goals, Ash.
Thanks,
Perry Groves.
It's got to be Tyson Fury with it in a heartbeat. It's got to be... Thing is, with Tyson Fury being the character, it's personality, right?
Yeah.
So he's got a personality. But he's changed ring walks completely. I know he battered Deontay Wilder. Like, no one knew he was going to run to the centre ring and start smacking him. Whoa! So, but... being carried in on a sedan chair,
slowly.
singing crazy, right? And everybody just looking, going, that's magnificent. And I don't believe sportsmen when they say they're not nervous, you know, before any event, because you get that butterfly, everybody gets the butterflies. He's the one sportsman who you can guarantee is not nervous because he actually loves doing what he's doing. He's like, this is what I was born for. Yeah. And then to do his American Pie as well afterwards. You think, Tyson, you are the kiddie. Far from being a fantastic boxer, just take it. I like sports when you make you have a wry chuckle and like a wry smile.
It was like a Scorsese
smile.
Film, wasn't it? It was like one of those slow-motion Scorsese sort of shots as he goes down into a nightclub or something and plays a very slow film over it as he walks. If I was going to sing American Pie when I just won heavyweight world champion of the world, I'd have learned the words.
But also as well, though, you imagine the production, like it was NBC or whatever it was, going, thinking he'll do one verse. And
yeah,
he goes, cut him now.
He was in the chorus and he goes into the second verse.
And he had Bob Arum. Is it Bob Arum? Trying to sing like an old man, not old man dancing, old man singing, who didn't have a clue about the worms at all, did he?
No, beautiful, beautiful. Perry Groves, 3 goals. There we are. Mark Dolan.
Well, I mean, the clue's in the title, personality. So, actually, maybe we should not focus on trophies and medals and points and all the rest of it because, it's been curtailed, hasn't it? And we really focus on personality. So judges have to watch a variety of sports stars do a 40-minute after-dinner talk at a club rugby dinner when all the guests have been drinking since lunchtime. They've been introduced by a guy that's announced a recent death and goes, here's the entertainment.
It's amazing when people go, if someone's going, shh, shh, shh. And people do go quiet, didn't they? Yes, oh, I'm so right. sorry. I'm so sorry you get shushed.
Well, you do a bit. Or maybe they could front the spin-off show of I'm a Celebrity. That's a tough gig. You've got to have a bit of sparkle there. But I'm actually going to discard all of that. And I'm going to pitch to you that we go for lifetime achievement. We've not had a complete season. So who has made the greatest contribution over their career? Because I don't think they've got a lifetime achievement, have they? And I'm thinking a no-brainer for the inaugural lifetime achievement, Sepp Blatter.
No. Yeah. Lovely.
Just think how many thousands of hours on this great radio station have been taken up with discussing that man. And yes, I was no fan. As a counterintuitive choice, I'm gonna pitch Sepp Blatter for this year.
I loved it, Mark. Three goals. Great. Excellent answer. Mark Smith.
I'm going to go similar sort of vibe to you, Ash. I'm going to Jordan Henderson.
Oh, similar to Ash.
Okay. Similar, yes. Yeah, okay. But the reason being that this has been, in the same way Tyson Fury has had a real change in the way that he's been perceived by the public.
Yes.
I think Jordan Henderson's had a similar journey.
Mm.
I think
a good answer.
A few years ago, you know, we had that whole thing with Sir Alex Ferguson saying... They had some weird thing about the
gate.
Way you ran or something. Yeah, his
gait. No one
his
ever gate. Heard that before.
No one ever heard that before.
Strange gate.
And suddenly he's... And it's not been overnight. Of course it hasn't. But over the last two, three seasons, he's become someone that would probably get into any team in the league, I think. Mm. Not just because of his playing ability, but he's a real leader. And assuming that the league comes back, Liverpool obviously will win it, and he would be... I think a Hall of Fame Premier League captain.
And when they eventually did lose to Watford, he wasn't playing,
he wasn't there.
He'd been out a couple of games.
We saw a big drop-off in quality for those three or four games where
a
they went out of the FA Cup.
You know, he said he wasn't there against Watford. You know what it was? No one was telling Virgil van Dijk to sort himself out. Virgil van Dijk sorts everybody else out, but he needs the sorter out to someone going, oi, you sort yourself out.
Sure.
Sorry,
Jordan Henderson.
Exactly, yeah, Jordan Henderson.
It's also the same in showbiz where you want the second half of your career to be the glory years, not the first. You want to be David Jason, not Macaulay Culkin.
Ah, right. Yeah.
Or Lee Sharp.
Yeah.
Lee Sharp, why?
Well,
why
because,
Lee Sharp?
Okay, I know he finished it with you.
Started with us.
Yeah, okay, but his career went amazing.
You were
and then
doing
went down.
So well for points there.
Oh,
you were about
Charlie.
To get three. But then you slagged off Lee Sharp's early career.
Not slagging him off.
You said his early career was poor, though.
No, I said it went from great to worse. And he started at your club, so that's
this
great.
That's the great reversing. Bit.
Okay. Please, somebody kill me.
Okay, I'll give you two goals. Two goals, Mark. You were heading for three, but he then went for Torquay United's Lee Sharp.
Have you got money on whoever wins this game?
So, in the dying moments of the game, we move now into injury time. But each side has 60 seconds to score as many goals as possible. Losing side goes first, that's Derby County. I'm going to list a series of football moves and tricks. All you've got to do is tell me which are true and which are false. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
And that's Ray Stubbs.
Understand the question, gentlemen?
I think so.
Okay, your time starts now. Step over.
True.
It is true. Rabona.
True.
It's true. The Steve Stone.
False.
It is false. Pokered.
False.
Tis false. The Cruyff turn.
True.
Tis true. A Hackney Marsh.
False.
Tis false. Roulette.
False.
It's true. The cash converter.
False.
Tis false. An Elastico.
False.
It's true. The Mysterio.
False.
Tis false. Quality Street.
False.
It's false. A reverse Matthews.
True.
It's true. The Rivellino.
True.
Tis true. Ray's Parlour.
False.
Tis false. Rainbow.
True.
It's true. The Baron.
False.
Tis false. Traffic Island.
False.
Tis false. Tuppenny Nudger.
False.
Tis false. Hocus Pocus.
False.
It's true. The Great Soprendo.
False.
Tis false. The Double Lunge.
False.
It's true. Getting Tangoed.
False.
Tis false. The Colonic.
False.
Tis false. The Okocha.
True.
And that's Ray Stubbs.
Tis true. A superb round.
Blimey.
There.
Giving us a shot.
At the end of that round, you scored a massive 20 goals. Mainly you, Mark. There, well done. That takes you to 39, Derby County. Aston Villa, you're on 22. I'm going to list a series of newly invented sports. All you have to do is tell me which are true and which are false. Newly invented sports. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
Mark Lawrenson.
Are we ready? Your time starts now. Floor pong.
True.
It is true. Lav ball.
False.
It's true. Tommy knocking.
False.
It's false. Spud ball.
False.
It's true. Speed hoovering.
False.
True.
It is false. Funny ball.
True.
It's true. Throwing stuff.
False.
It is false. Ring wrong.
True.
It is true. Belly boxing.
True.
It's false. Low jump.
True.
It's false. Duocock.
True.
It's true.
Twin batting.
False.
It's true. Tubing.
False.
True. It's false.
Which one?
Yeah, balloonist. True. It's true. Battle boats.
False.
It's true. Netflixing.
True.
It's false. Apo-apo.
True.
It's true. Cornerball.
True.
It is true. Extreme podcasting.
False.
It's true. Oh, sorry, it's false. Dockaboosh.
True.
It's true. Shoeing.
False.
It's false. Flog.
Mac.
False.
Lawrence.
It's true. A futuristic version of golf. Aston Villa, you got 13, which takes you to 36, which means Derby County. You are the winners on 39 goals. Derby. Really came back.
Despite everything.
We're Bayern Munich, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you take any positives from it, Perry Ash?
Not at all.
No, not at all.
Still negative.
That is Bayern Munich-esque, isn't it?
There we are. And winners.
We won every round.
What do you think it sends out? What message do you think that sends out?
Just keep on trucking, guys. If it looks like nothing's going to happen for you, just keep on at it. You'll get there. You'll get your just rewards.
Well, lovely. To our winners, we say...
You beauty! What a headshot! What a head!
And for the losers...
Oh, you are a disgrace! For missing the target from there, you want bloody shooting!
My thanks to the two marks, Perry and Ash. Until next time, from myself and everyone here, is goodbye. There it is! Derby County coming back right at the end there, Mark. Very exciting,
wasn't
it?
Absolutely superb. It was touch and go, wasn't it? But I think we got there in the end. We absolutely deserved it. And by the way, terrible refereeing throughout.
OK.
Had it not been for that refereeing and a terrible allocation of points, it would have been a bloodbath.
But whenever you've won, the referee's always like a legend, don't you think?
Yeah.
No, actually.
Ungracious. Perry, Ash, sorry. Sorry you lost.
To be fair, did we win every round?
We won every round.
So basically what it means is...
I mean, we had a much more difficult one.
That they're better at guessing.
Yeah.
They're better than yes or no, true or false. That's it. So we're taking positives, Ash.
So we're basically saying we've won.
We've won.
Yeah.
Morally, we won.
As always. That's what a small club would say.
Ending an argument. Glory Hunters, the Glory Hunters podcast. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you again soon. Do download, rate, subscribe, review, do all those things. And we'll see you again next week.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.